as Egypt's interim deputy prime minister calls for reconciliation with the Muslim Brotherhood. Demonstrators take to the streets, calling for the reinstatement of ousted President Mohamed Morsi, saying his upcoming trial and the deadly military crackdown are part of a counter-revolutionary campaign. Is Egypt being dragged back to the Mubarak era? Is all hope lost for the popular movement that triggered the fall of other dictators in the region? You're watching The Debate.
More than 4 months of unrest, chaos and human grief as Egypt's political arena goes through a period of unease. Tensions rose dramatically when the government of first democratically elected President Mohamed Morsi was ousted by the country's powerful military. Morsi was under immense popular pressure in 2012 to step down over a series of measures he took to tilt the balance of power dramatically in favor of the Muslim Brotherhood, an Islamic movement Morsi himself hailed from. After mass protests and Morsi's failure to appease the opposition, the army ousted Morsi in a move his supporters described as a coup. The military council instead nominated a handpick of officials to run the country as part of an interim government. Although before Morsi's downfall, his supporters were dwarfed by large crowds of his opponents, they later came out in force to show their outrage. The protests and sit-ins continued for a while before the army-backed government used its iron fist again to crack down on dissent, leaving over 1,000 people dead. After a period of lull, now pro-Morsi supporters have taken their protests to universities. Campus demonstrations, organized by the so-called Anti-Coup Alliance, have been going on for a while, with some turning into scenes of clashes with security forces. The latest round of violence came on Monday, when police fired tear gas at the students outside the Al-Azhar University in the capital, Cairo. The political deadlock continues more than 4 months after Morsi's overthrow. Neither the supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood and Morsi, nor the army-backed interim officials are ready to sit in for the talks to find a way out of the crisis. Tensions are rising just days before the protest central figure goes on trial for incitement to kill anti-Morsi protesters. Since August, over 2,000 Muslim Brotherhood supporters have been arrested, and a number of them are standing trial over allegations of killing the protesters. Will the government crackdown be a possible safe passage through this period of instability? Many don't think so. Deputy Prime Minister Ziad Bahaeddin says with the Brotherhood's top leadership behind bars, Egypt can't move forward towards calm. He's urging both the government and the Muslim Brotherhood to compromise and reach reconciliation before things get out of control.
You're watching The Debate. Joining me now live from Cairo is Mr. Sharif Rizk. He's a political activist, and also with us from Cairo, Mr. Mustafa Reda, a political commentator. Welcome to The Debate, gentlemen. I'll put my first question to Mr. Rizk in Cairo. Now, Mr. Rizk, the deputy PM, as we saw in that report, has been saying the government and the Muslim Brotherhood should seek reconciliation because, in his words, only an inclusive political process, not security crackdowns, can bring stability. But how is reconciliation possible?
Well, I don't think reconciliation is quite possible, because when you talk about reconciliation, you talk about two parties, equal in power, equal in status, equal in position. But now what you're talking about, you're talking about interim government, and the Muslim Brotherhood, most of the leaders are in prison, and most of the young members are protesting all the time. So you cannot really find exact common ground that they should reconciliate on. I mean, what kind of common ground they are going to talk about? I mean, always the Muslim Brotherhood are talking about getting Morsi back. So this kind of win-lose situation will never lead to kind of reconciliation. Reconciliation only happen when we kind of have a common ground. I don't think it exists.
Well, let's bring in Mr. Reda on this as well. You said there that reconciliation is not going to work when one side is really weakened. Mr. Reda, how is reconciliation possible when security forces have killed hundreds of Brotherhood supporters and members? They've jailed thousands, including Morsi, who's due to appear in court on Monday on charges of inciting violence.
well, what I can see now in the political situation in Egypt, that we had since 3 weeks ago a lot of protests in the streets all over the squares, all over the provinces in Egypt. This is something normal, you see. I'm not against this, because this is the normal reaction, because you have removed a person which was elected through elections, normal elections, and you should consider that the Muslim Brotherhood were aiming at reaching power since 8 years ago. However, so certainly this is a normal reaction that started with certain protests. So the protests now, if you see the last week now since last Fridays, the numbers have decreased. The strategy now of the Muslim Brotherhood is to destabilize the educational system by going to universities. Probably, I don't think that we will reach an end to all that, because we have people being killed in churches. We have attacks on ministers, we have attacks on the police, we have attacks on the army. So unless, as the gentleman, your guest, just mentioned now, there have to be common factor and common grounds and common objectives that are going to reach, both parties have to reach, and reach an agreement in order to finalize the situation. If the situation, if not every party is sticking to its position and didn't give any concessions to the other side, I don't think this situation will be solved. It will take years and years.
Well,
on the other hand,
yes, I'll stop you there.
It should be noted that it's very, very important
that
we should see.
I'm afraid I'll stop you there, if I may, because before you go on to the next part of your response, I'd like to bring in Mr. Rizk on this before you continue. Mr. Rizk, our guest here was saying that the Muslim Brotherhood is destabilizing now the universities and has been causing violence. Therefore, it has to stop these kinds of policies for any reconciliation to work. What do you think about that?
You know what they say about masterpieces, work of art. A masterpiece is a work of art that can stand the test of time. Here we are working on the test of time. So if the Muslim Brotherhood are trying to work hard on destabilizing the situation, they are not that powerful. So I mean, the government and the political regime right now is working on the time factor. So the more time goes on, the more they stay in the position. And you know, just today they announced that the minimum salary will be 1,200 in January. That's a great political step. I mean, they are getting the masses with them. So they are playing politically very well. Unfortunately, or I don't know if it's unfortunately or not, the Muslim Brotherhood are not any politically smart. They are not realistic. They just work on ground that really will not lead them anywhere.
Yeah.
They are politically weak. They are not able to negotiate. They don't know the terms of negotiations in terms of the power factor. But if we just go back a little bit, we'll find that Morsi was opposing the judiciary system, the cops, the cultural people, the Ministry of Culture, the artists. Lots of groups in the society actually were completely against him. So in terms of playing the game very well, Morsi was quite an amateur, and the Muslim Brotherhood are in the same team. So I don't think they would be able to find any solution.
Okay, now back to Mr. Ridder. Mr. Ridder, you're saying then that the Muslim Brotherhood is causing instability, but a lot of people are saying that what has been left of the Muslim Brotherhood anyway, I mean, it's all been obliterated, they're saying, by the military-led government. We're seeing the group as a whole, the political party being banned. We're seeing all of its leaders and members put behind bars with trials awaiting them. You see, the Interior Minister says that the Muslim Brotherhood is a terrorist organization. At the same time, the military has been cracking down with a lot of violence against demonstrators, and these demonstrations have been peaceful. So maybe we can say that when the Muslim Brotherhood is facing these accusations, we can also charge these accusations against the military. Who's going to put them on trial?
Well, let me tell you something very, very, you have raised a very, very important issue now. Well, now, as you just mentioned, the military institution or the president or the government, the interim government that we have now, has dissolved the organization or the Muslim Brotherhood. However, what I see as a strategy for the Muslim Brotherhood in order that they were going to go back, because let us be realistic. A large part of the Egyptians support these guys, you see. So the point is that, in a way, what would be intelligent for the Muslim Brotherhood to do is to change the strategy and try to start working in order to win, to get a stroke or a stake in the next parliamentary elections. This would be a step, and they have to change their vision and their strategy. They have to accept that, they, as the gentleman, your guest on the other side, mentioned, that they have failed. They didn't, weren't able to deliver anything during the last year, you see. So they mentioned that they had a plan, and it, which was called the Nahda plan, which was, and we found nothing. The point is that they have to change their strategy in order to regain the momentum and their supporters. This certainly will take a long time. Because you see, a lot of people now in Egypt have lost the confidence, even some of their supporters. If you go and ask the guy in the street now, what do you think about the Muslim Brotherhood, he's not going to talk, give you a positive idea about them.
Yes.
So the point is that they have to change their image, change their strategy, try to gain more supporters, and in order to have a new program, and learn from their mistakes.
Okay, before we move on now with the discussion, we're going to take a look quickly at some of the comments that have been posted on our Facebook page about this topic. We'll take a look at those comments now and we'll be back.
The Muslim Brotherhood and the interim government in Egypt should sit around the table and settle their differences for the sake of their nation. A compromise is needed. Reconciliation talks with no preconditions must start without any delay. We know that Morsi and some groups have made mistakes, but mistakes should not be fixed by mistakes. The coup was not the ideal solution to save the country from chaos. If Egypt sinks into chaos, this will help Israel and other undemocratic small states will fill the gap. It seems that the revolutions across the Arab world are getting reversed. Saudi Arabia and its regional allies are the main losers of any democratic change in the region. They pay billions of dollars to reverse these popular revolutions and get army generals back to power, and Egypt is the main target.
Those were some of the comments that were posted on our Facebook page concerning, of course, today's debate topic, the situation in Egypt. Let's go quickly now to Mr. Risk in Cairo and have his comments. We will, of course, go to some of the issues that were mentioned in those comments. But Mr. Risk, our guest earlier on was saying that the Muslim Brotherhood should change strategy and should enter into the political process. We are, of course, hearing of an inclusive political plan, but do you think that the Muslim Brotherhood is going to agree to enter into that process, even if the entire interim government and the military agrees to it?
No, I can't see any kind of mindset in the Muslim Brotherhood that's going to change anything. I mean, the mindset of the Muslim Brotherhood is quite stubborn, and they see that they are much more superior to other groups. However, in reality, they haven't achieved any targets. I mean, they stayed in the office for 1 year. They did very little to the people. They were not very convincing to anyone around the world. I mean, look at very simple example of Morsi. Morsi, at the very beginning of his rule, traveled to Iran and the Committee for Muslim Nations, and then he said that I'm completely with the Syrian revolution. And then after 2 months, he said, I'm with the political solution. And then after a visit to Russia, he said, I am exactly in agreement with the Russian stand. And then he boycotted the relationship with Syria. If you look at him strategically, this was not a president. And this was one of the leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood. So if you look back, at the Muslim Brotherhood as a group, they don't even know what strategic means.
Well, Mr.
They don't know the terms of power.
There is this question here, if I may ask.
Yes.
I guess we're saying there that the majority of the people now in Egypt, if you ask them, they're not supporting the Muslim Brotherhood, and that Mohamed Morsi, therefore, does not have supporters. Do you see it as looking that way, or would you say that it's a polarized nation now with Morsi's supporters and Morsi's opponents?
Yeah, it's pluralized, of course, but the Muslim Brotherhood are not that popular in Egypt anyway. And their demonstrations, if I may correct what's been said, have not been peaceful at all. Like, they are using violence, and we have seen lots of incidents about that. But what I'm talking about is about strategic planning for a political party. I'm talking here about their party, Al-Hurriya and Al-Adala. Which is actually quite acting very strange. It's not a political party. They don't have a strategic planning. They don't compromise. They don't negotiate.
Yes.
They just say, either we'll take this or not. So, I mean, in the future, I will never figure out how they will stay in the political agenda.
Okay. Well, that said, back to our guest, Mr. Reda in Cairo. Mr. Reda, if you can hear me, if we do accept... Mr. Reda, can you hear me?
Right,
it looks like we've lost our connection there with Mr. Reda. So I'll put this question back to our guest, Mr. Risk in Cairo, and we'll try to bring Mr. Reda back with us. Now, Mr. Risk, the one question here would be, looking at the situation now, how can the military's actions be justified? I mean, if we take into account that the Muslim Brotherhood doesn't have a lot of supporters in the country, that Mohamed Morsi wasn't a good enough president, but how can the actions by the military be justified? We're seeing this emergency rule, for instance, being applied. We're seeing a ban on parts of the media. We're seeing the suppression on the right to free assembly. How can this be justified?
If we talk about the media that was banned, the media that was banned was agitating people against each other. So there were good reasons to ban them. I mean, in terms of ethical ideas about media, you cannot call them media. They were only supporting Morsi, and they were agitating people against each other. They accused people by names. They kind of agitated people against the Christians and other minority groups. So you cannot call them media, and same time, you cannot call the Muslim Brotherhood a political group. It's a group that tries to brainwash people's mind that they are working in the name of religion. But when they ruled, they were kind of getting all their friends
to rule
the country.
But if it's not a political
so
party, then how
Mubarak's
come...
regime.
Then how come the government wants it to
yes.
join a political process if it's not considered even a political party? How is it expected to join into the political
process? Can you repeat
process?
The question, please?
Yes, you said that...
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, when you say the Muslim Brotherhood is not even a political party, how is it expected then to join the political process and to enter into reconciliation?
They can only join the political process if they act politically, if they don't talk about religion all the time, if they don't assume that they got the absolute truth. So only then we can like be partners as political members in the country. But otherwise, you're talking about believers and non-believers.
Okay, well, Mr. Risk, let's just talk about the trial, the upcoming trial for Mohamed Morsi himself. Looking at a lot of questions now that have been raised about this trial, I refer to some of them. We're seeing the lawyer for Mohamed Morsi saying that we haven't been given access to the prosecution's case. We weren't able to talk to Morsi himself. And they're saying we don't have any, we don't think there is any, in their words, legal evidence to put Morsi behind bars or to hold him trial. I mean, he's being kept in an unknown location. He can't communicate with anyone. The situation of Morsi himself is being seen as completely illegal. How can this trial be justified? How can people expect this trial to be a fair one?
No, I mean, I wouldn't speculate on that. It's only if there are legal evidence that he committed crimes, if there are only concrete evidence, then he will be judged. Otherwise, we wouldn't accept a trial to somebody that you don't have anything against him. So there is three judges, and he's got his lawyers or to defend him.
Well, Mr. Rizk, his lawyers have been saying that we are not going to defend him. We're just going to be present in court. They're saying that when we don't have access to Morsi himself, when we don't have access to the documents that are going to be used against him, we're not going to go and defend him. And they're saying that this is a show trial. So, you know, the way that this court is being held is under question.
I mean, anywhere in the world, you don't have access to documents about, like, if you go to the States and somebody's accused of something, you cannot access the documents or the anything, but he can have a public trial, which is happening now.
Yes, but they still didn't have access to Mohamed Morsi, did they?
Oh, I don't know, maybe because it's dangerous, it's a security thing, but who should have access? Only his family should visit him, I think, and his lawyers.
Well, that's the thing. His lawyers have been saying that they weren't allowed to speak with him. They weren't allowed to see him. This is, of course, according to the lawyers, and that's raising question. But before we end this discussion, we are quickly running out of time, Mr. Rizk. One more issue I'd like to bring up with you, and that is a lot of concern about a return to the Mubarak era. People are saying that those who are in the judiciary, those who are in the security forces, these are the same people who were in these institutions under Hosni Mubarak. How can we be expecting the demands of the revolutionaries to be met, for democracy to be achieved? Do you share that concern?
I'm quite surprised that people are thinking about getting back to Mubarak again, because, I mean, Morsi was worse than Mubarak. Now we are getting back to Mubarak regime, which is realistic. But what happened is that in January 2011, people were dreamers, were talking about things that would not happen. They were telling people that would be Switzerland tomorrow, which is not realistic. I mean, let's be realistic enough and start from there. We are a third world country, and we have to work hard to develop our country. And Morsi is not actually any kind of somebody who would lead us anywhere. He would actually get us into somewhere that we'll never be able to get out of it.
Okay, I'm afraid.
Of course, the government now is much better, but it is not as good as it should be.
Okay, well, that does bring us to an end of the program because we have run out of time. A big thank you there to Mr. Sharif Rizk, a political activist with us live from Cairo. We did also have another guest from Cairo, Mr. Mustafa Radar, political commentator. Unfortunately, we lost him in the course of the program. Thank you so much for staying with us here on another edition of The Debate. From me, Homa Lezgi. Until our next program, it's goodbye.